give you, we're going to start with from this platform, this place of scripture. Thank you. Ephesians 6:10. If you have it there, say, I have it. All right, so we're going to, I want you all to read together with me, and we're going to read it together. And if he has it up there on the screen. Ready? Read. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Second, 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. All right, stop right there. So I want to, we read this scripture last week, but I want to also reiterate the scripture that we are talking about, you know, this imperative that gives us, in this verse, five words repeatedly, against. Five times. So it's like the Holy Spirit is raising his voice through the Apostle Paul and telling us, your contest or in conflict is not against human beings, but spiritual beings. It's a spiritual warfare. In other words, you're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against and against. And what is he's doing? He's pounded it into us that 99.9% of our issues are spiritual, have a spiritual root cause. So spiritual warfare is real. But where does it occur, even though it's by spiritual beings? Now, we talked about these beings, you know, meaning the devil, demons, evil spirits, being defeated spiritually. So our spiritual authority has victory in these arenas of conflict. That's in Christ. Now, but the battle is where? Everybody say in the mind. In the mind. So the battle is the mind. So because he's been stripped of all of his spiritual weaponry and authority, he then takes the next level, which is to try to access our lives to bring his MO or modus operandi, mode of operation, steal, kill, and destroy. John 10:10. The thief comes not but for to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. So how does he gain access? He's going to come through one way, one road, one avenue, and that's through your mind. And so last week we talked about saving the soul, and so let's go, flip back to verse 10 here real quickly, and I'm just going to give you some little nuggets that's not in your notes that we talked a little bit about last week. But it says, first, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So that is spiritual action. So if you were to say, what is my personal spiritual action plan? Be strong in the Lord. Don't be strong in yourself. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's spiritual action. Second directive is verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God. In other words, the panoply or panoply of God, the canopy of God, his armament. Put on the whole armor of God. This is soul action. And so last week we talked about saving the soul, and we define the soul as our mind, our will, and our emotions, three major functions or facets of our mind. It's where we have the powers of intellect and all those things. But that's where the enemy comes in. So this whole armor of God needs to be put on. Why? So that you be able to stand against what? The wiles, the devices, the deceptions, the deceits of the devil, the enemy. And so, secondly, we do that because we're not to be ignorant of his devices. 2 Corinthians 2, 11 says, his devices are like mind games. They're trickery of the mind. So we're not facing an opponent who is the embodiment of strength. We are facing an opponent who, a foe, one who's arrayed against us, who is the embodiment of tricks, of trickery, of deception. And so he's telling us to do this. Now, we talked about it last week a little bit, that the armor is not literal, it is symbolic. So when he says the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, he's talking about different aspects of knowledge. So these are Bible knowledges. So you need to put on truth like a belt. You need to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness like a breastplate to cover your vital organs. You need to put on the helmet, what? Of salvation. In other words, you need to be thinking about your salvation in Christ. You need to have Jesus on your mind. Isaiah 26:3 tells us, thou will keep him in perfect peace, that he will keep us in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. Philippians 2:5 tells us, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. So we need to have the mind of Christ. We need to think like Jesus. We're not trying to get it. He's already got it for us. So we start from where he finished. So our mentality, our perspective in the conflict, in the battle, is that we contend with him, the enemy of our soul, from a place of victory, not for a place of victory. So we are the victor. Because he has overcome, we can overcome. Because he defeated him, according to Colossians 2, he spoiled principalities and powers, making a show of them openly, triumphing over them in the cross. So Jesus spoiled, that the old English word that doesn't really mean a lot of sense to us now, but it means he disarmed them. He stripped them of their armor. He completely disarmed the devil, demons, and evil spirits. So we're going up against somebody who's already been defeated. So you got to think about that he's been defeated. Isn't that good? So here's some little nuggets that we need to think about, because we're going to talk about renewing the mind tonight in the time we have. And so I'm just going to give you these sound bites or thoughts to think through as we read the script. We go to Romans 12 in our handout. Listen to this point, this thought. It is only when the information on the pages of God's word become real that it will change your life. Now, in the area of financial well-being and poverty, you know, you've got to get rid of a poverty mentality. I'm good to see our friend here. He works in the banking business in the back. Just wave at him, Chase. Wave at everybody. And he's a financial guy. And so, you know, we met and talked about some things, and he said he was going to come, and good to see you tonight. But if you have a poor mindset, you're going to struggle. Right? So a scarcity mindset destroys perspective. An abundant mindset empowers perspective. Whatever you think about grows. I'm just giving you these thoughts or these statements. Don't focus on what you're going through. Focus on what you're going to. Your thoughts are the compass that guides the ship of your life into the port of your desire. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What do you focus on? Every thought that you agree with becomes a powerful magnet, drawing your life into your life the manifested reality of the picture it holds. So if you see yourself sick all the time, broke all the time, bothered all the time, it can bring a magnet. Maybe your mentality is attracting that. Your future success is created by your present focus. Freedom is an internal journey, not the absence of external torment. I'll say that again. Freedom is not an internal, is an internal journey, not the absence of an external torment. And this last thought I want to leave you with in this, before we get into Romans 12, what are you saying? You know, Proverbs tells us that death and life are in the power of what? Our tongue. They're not in the power of prayer. They're in the power of the tongue. And so there's a lot the Bible talks about our lips and our mouth, but we must never give life to what God has put to death. So sometimes we have the bazooka in our own hand, which is basically 1 inch below our nose, and we put holes in our own boat. We blow holes in our ship. And loose lips, we said, sink ships. Okay. All right, let's get into this. Y'all ready? Yes. All right, Romans 12:2. It says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." All right, so what comes to your mind? Give me some words, give me some feedback. What comes to mind when you think of the word renew, renewing? What does that mean? Anybody? Starting over? Okay. Anybody else? Beginning? Okay, so we're talking about renewing. Anybody else? Would you say remodeling? Updating. Okay, what else? Huh? Work? Okay. Renewing is work, yes. What about changing? What about transforming? Now, let's look at this in the Passion Translation. You see it there in your handout. Stop imitating the ideas and opinions of the culture around you. So we're not supposed to be mimicking or imitating the world. We're supposed to be imitating Christ. But be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit to a total reformation of how you think. Isn't that good? And so, in other words, don't be conformed, be transformed. Be changed. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying, perfect in his eyes. Now, let's take another scripture from the Amplified Classic Translation, Ephesians 4:23. And be constantly renewed. There it is again. Be constantly. That means this is a lifelong, ongoing process of updating, of changing, of transforming, of remodeling, of reforming, of transforming the way we think. Be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. Isn't that good? So last week, let's review some of the key points in our saving of our souls teaching, because we said when we say this phrase, some people think, well, my soul is saved. Well, we distinguish the difference, 1 Corinthians 5:23. If you could put that up there, Brother Rodney, appreciate it. Ephesians 5:33, because we are three-part beings. We are a spirit, we possess a soul, and we live where? In a body. So Ephesians 5:23 says, and may the very God of peace sanctify you completely. And once he gets it up there, we'll put it in there. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. I'm sorry. I gave you said Ephesians. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. My fault. And may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole what? Spirit. Now, so these are three different Greek words. Spirit is the word pneuma. Pneuma. And then soul, which is the word we get. Some pronounce it psyche. Some pronounce it psuche. And body, which is soma. And so we say the body is your five physical senses. What you see, hear, smell, taste, touch. Okay? Your soul is your components of your mind, your will, and your emotions. And your spirit has a functionality. That's the image and likeness because God is a spirit. And so we have a spirit. We are spirit beings, not just human beings. Okay? And there's a lot of scripture to kind of support that, so we won't go back through those. So we need to understand, first and foremost, that how we as Christian believers and Christ followers can give place to the enemy, the devil, demons, and evil spirits in our souls and bodies. So the Holy Spirit is in your spirit, but the devil can access your soul and body, not through your spirit, but through your mind. Okay? And so that's when people are misinformed. So you got to get rid of misinformation, false doctrine, laziness, or just ignorance. You got to overcome those hurdles and renew your mind to the Word of God, in the Word of God, the truth of the Word of God. Secondly, as believers, we must learn how to get the real man, the spirit man on the inside, to dominate our souls and bodies that will solve many problems as far as the devil's concerned. So the order is, everybody say it with me, spirit, soul, body. Now, when you flip it, you get out of order. Body, soul, spirit, or soul, body, spirit. Your spirit man is supposed to be at the ascendancy or the priority person in your tripart nature. Okay? All right. As believers, let their recreated spirits dominate. They will learn not to give the devil any access, spirit, soul, or body. But an unredeemed mind gives access to the devil because the mind is the doorway which the devil can gain access to people. And we said he usually brings his same MO, thoughts, ideas, suggestions, to tempt us to sin or to allow him to get in. Third, we stand strong against the devil, demons, evil spirits by renewing our minds and feeding our spirit. So to stand strong against the enemy, you will need to learn how to renew your mind and feed your spirit. So we encourage people not just to read the Bible with their ocular vessels, but also feed the Bible. That means you don't eat food with your mouth closed, and you shouldn't eat or feed the Bible with your mouth closed. It's not just a mental exercise. That means you read the Bible out loud. So you like intake it. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So when you read out loud, you're feeding your spirit, because how you feed your spirit is through your ears. You got to hear the Word. So with our spirit, we contact the spiritual realm. With our soul, we contact the intellectual and emotional realm. And with our body, we contact the physical realm. Now let's look at James 1:21. It's written out there. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. So why is this scripture in the Bible? Because he's saying you got to make whole your soul. So why aren't our souls saved when we're born again? When we come to Christ? Well, because the new birth is a spiritual birth. It's not an intellectual birth, a rebirth of man's mind. It is not a soulish birth, a rebirth of a man of a man's soul and emotions, excuse me. And it's not a physical birth, a rebirth of the man's body. An unrenewed mind is a major area where believers can give Satan access to them. Therefore, the Christian believer needs to understand how to receive the engrafted or implanted word to save his or her soul. So what happens typically, just to make this point, when you come to church, you have to receive what? The word that is able to do what? Make whole your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. So to save his or her soul so that they can close the door to the devil, demons, and evil spirits. Save is the word, Greek word. We've got it defined there as sozo. Define means to protect, to save, to deliver, to protect, heal, preserve, make well, or make whole. That means as you actually feed on the word, it saves, delivers, protects, heals, preserves, and makes whole your soul, your mind, your intellect, your emotions, and your will, which is one of the greatest defenses against Satan, demons, and evil spirits. And so in other words, we shut him out or shut the door to him. Don't give him access. The front door is closed, the back door is closed, the windows are shut. The thief, John 10:10, can't get in. Because when he gets in, he starts what? He's going to start stealing, killing, and destroying. Now, we know from Ephesians 4:27, if you could put that one up there, Ephesians 4:27, Rodney, it says to us, neither give what? Place to who? So that means there's a potential, there's an opportunity for us to give the enemy of our soul place. This word place is where we get the scientific word topography, where it's topos, which means ground. Don't give any ground to Diabolos, the devil. Right? Okay, fourth, James 1:22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So we have to hear and receive the word. That means we have to come to church with great intentionality. That we're not just going to sit to listen. We're going to sit to hear and receive. And with intention, leaving to apply, to practice, to act on the word. Are you listening to me? And he said, and we have to act on the word before it will do us any good. Hearing the word and acting on it is a powerful defense against Satan, because if we just hear the word only, we will deceive ourselves. We'll become self-deluded Christian believers and Christ followers. And that's enough said on that. So as you keep your soul strong and renewed, it is easier to resist the devil, demons, and evil spirits on every front. Now listen to this other one, 1 Peter 1:22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Now notice the bold and underline that we put at our discretion, purifying your what? Your soul, that's that word, psuche or psyche. Again, your mind, your will, and emotions. You have purified your soul. You've done it. Not God doing it. You do it. The way he says do it. In obeying what? The truth. So it's not just hearing, it's obeying. Okay? You will have to be a doer of the word before it profits your soul. So, because that's the big question why Christians can come to church consistently and regularly, have notes, have notebooks, have handouts, have teaching tapes or CDs. We don't have tapes anymore. CDs, MP3s, and they're still not making progress or still not living profitable, productive lives because what? They're just hearing it only. They're not obeying the truth. Now, here's a bold, pretty strong statement, but we're responsible to all the truth that we've heard and that we hear. Our response as Christian believers and Christ followers is to an obedience response. I'll do it. So if the Bible says, don't worry, you come across those scriptures, you get it taught to you, don't worry, guess what? You've got to do that. You've got to act on that and not worry when the crises of life come to you. Because most times people think that's the new norm, to stress out, to struggle with worry, fear, and fret over situations. But that's not godly. It's actually sin. Okay? And so you can apply that to all the other truths of the scripture. Okay? So your soul will be saved, delivered, protected, and healed, preserved, and made well and whole by receiving and doing the word. Believers themselves have to do something about saving their own souls. So look to someone next to you and smile on them real nice and say, you have to do something about your soul. Now look at someone else, smile on them real, real nice, and say, did you realize that you have to do something about saving your own soul? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. So as we undergird our souls with the word, Satan will have an open door of access to them. The major way believers close the door to the devil, demons, and evil spirits is getting their minds renewed. So we're going to talk at length about that in the balance of our time. With the word and by practicing the word. If the believer doesn't deal with his soul, now a part didn't print out, so I apologize, and body, he or she will continually be open to the door to the devil. So you don't know, but you're opening the door. If you don't deal with your soul, if you don't do nothing with your soul, if you don't have intention every day to get your mind renewed. Now here's something to kind of correlate with or compare to. Just like you hygiene your body and you comb your hair every day, you should renew your mind every day. So in other words, think of this phrase. You got to give daily checkups from the neck up. And just like you hygiene your body, you got to hygiene your head. Because you could develop, just like if you don't shower or bathe, you get stinky in your body. But you can get stinking thinking in your soul. Isn't that good? So you can get stinking thinking. So don't get stinking thinking. Have you smelled your thoughts lately? Come on now. You just like you would question the words coming out of your mouth, you need to be questioning and examining the thoughts that are coming into your head. Because if you're not thinking in line with God's word, then you're thinking low. And when you think low, you're going to go low. To go high, you got to think high. Because he said in Isaiah 55, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and my ways are higher than your ways. As the heavens are high above the earth, so are my thoughts above your thoughts. You got to think. You got to think right. So that connects to your believing right, talking right, and acting or doing right. It all hinges on your thinking. Ooh, this is good stuff tonight. Hallelujah. God is good. And so you have to be thinking about those kinds of things. Now, turn to the back, the next page. We're going to kind of run through these real quick. Staying in God's word, saturating your heart and mind with the word of God, first renews and resets your mind. Now, if you could put Colossians 3:2 up, Rodney, please. Thank you. Colossians 3:2. How many ever had to hit your reset button on your phone or your computer? Anybody have to reset a device or something like that? Yeah. Well, look what it says. Let's all read it together. Ready to read. Set your mind on the things above, not on things of the earth. Now, if you put it up in the Amplified Classic, Rodney, let's look at it there. set your minds and keep them set. So when's the last time you reset your mind? The higher on what is above, the higher things. What are higher things? The higher thoughts of God, the Word of God, and not on the things that are on earth, the earth. So this first thing is when we saturate with the Word, we renew it, renovate that mind, we reset it to the standard and status of God's Word. We think on His level. We exchange our low thoughts, stinking thoughts, ugly thoughts, for His higher thoughts, His good thoughts, His godly thoughts. And secondly, we arm ourselves for spiritual battle because now we're mentally, emotionally, and intellectually equipped with Bible knowledge to know that we can recognize a low thought, an idea that comes out of the pit of hell, or a suggestion to do sin and wrong in our respective lives. You're equipped. And third, you make us ready to triumph over temptation to quit, grow weary of doing well, or drifting into darkness, the darkness of sin and evil. Now, here's the truth to remember. If your thoughts are not entreating, edifying, or comforting, they are not of God. Philippians 4:8 should be somewhat on a 3x5 card or on your phone notes device pretty regularly. What am I supposed to think on? Especially when you get under pressure, you have a problem to deal with, or pain that you're under. You got to say, what are my thoughts right now when I'm going through this? Keep in mind also that Satan doesn't need to control your actions. He only needs to influence your thinking. That's why he comes to your mind. If he can deceive and defeat you in the mind, he can deceive and defeat you. To go and grow to another level, you have to think on another level. To go higher, you have to think higher. Now remember about thoughts. Thoughts precede action. Thoughts precede action. Excuse me. So you don't act until you think about it. Feelings are controlled by thoughts and not by our circumstances. Why are you feeling bad? Correlated, you're thinking bad. Why are you feeling stressed out? Your thoughts are that way. So where the mind goes, the man or woman follows. Where the mind goes, where the man or woman follows. So where's your mind going? That's an indicator of where you're going. Are y'all getting something out of this? So renewing the mind has some practices and keys that we want to kind of run through real quick. And we may not be able to cover them all, but we'll cover most of them. Key number one, you can change your life. You can change to make your life what you want it to be. So you can change from where you are to where you need to be. If we will renew our way of thinking according to the principles of the Bible, we will find success in life we so desperately need. Scripture references there. We're not going to read it because of time. But that talks about the Word of God being profitable for doctrine, reproof, instruction, and righteousness, that we may be thoroughly furnished. So the Word of God is profitable for our thinking, our productive living, and that means renovating or renewing your mind, changing your mind. Key number two, the new birth changes your spirit, but the renewing of the mind changes your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. Key number three, you can be on your way to heaven but live in hell on earth. When our minds are renewed by the Word of God, we will overcome negative desires and live in God's perfect will. Key number four, renewing the mind is more than learning. It's changing. So some people says, well, if I just hear the preacher enough, if I hear the pastor enough, if I go to church enough, I'll get enough information input. But see, you can get information, but you can still not have transformation. Transformation begins with learning and changing. So we must come to church not just to learn something new or get a new intellectual insights or feel good if the sermon or teaching is stimulating, intriguing, or exciting. Instead, we should be determine and decide to change. That means as we're walking in the church building, we are saying, I'm going to hear a word from God, because if the pastor preaches from God's word, it's like God talking to me. Because it's powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. Heaven and earth will pass away before his word passes away. Come on now. We have to decide that the change agent in my life is the word of God and the Holy Spirit of God, who brings about the how to do it in my life. Renewing the mind is so much more than going through religious motions. It is a conscious effort and labor to do those four, five things. Become aware of how we really think and believe. Say, where are you? You have to assess your thoughts against God's word. If you're struggling or have difficulty getting positive change in a certain area, let's just say your body, it's not a food and diet and exercise issue. People go to the body first. Why do people go to their body first? And they spend 40 hours in a gym, and they starve themselves. Almost, I was going to say starve themselves to death, but they try to try all these diets, and then what happens? It goes back. Why? Because the change has to happen inside before it's manifested or realized outside. Are you listening to me? You have to become aware of how God wants us to think in line with his word. We just kind of covered those scriptures. Number three, focus our thoughts on God's thoughts. And so those are examples of how to focus, because you're consuming and being immersed in the word of God through meditation, biblical meditation, directed study, reading, talking the word with your faith friends. Four, practicing the thoughts of God until they become your own. So they become sealed and engrafted into your life, implanted in your life when you do it. So you have to not just learn it, you have to do it. So number five, live the thoughts of God every day. Allow the word of God to govern what you think. Okay? Number five, key number five, renewing the mind is a lifestyle, not an experience. It says if you can put 2 Corinthians 10:4 up just on the screen, strongholds, talks about the strong pulling down of strongholds. Strongholds are thoughts and attitudes that have a grip on your mind that even though you can't help it, you feel like your mind is controlling you and you can't stop thinking a certain way. You know how, significant emotional events or emotional scars that have occurred in your life, and you're kind of bent that way, and it kind of bothers you because every time you think about that scenario or you think about that situation or person, you think a certain way, because that's why the words come out like, well, they're never gonna change. They're always, and you can think that way about a marriage. It's never gonna get better. They're never going to change. Is that right thinking or wrong thinking? Come on, class. That's wrong thinking. And so the weapons of the warfare are not carnal, but mighty through in God through the pulling down of what? Strongholds of these negative thought patterns that just kind of try to control and dominate your mind, and you had to pull those things down. I mean, if you look at a person and never see the grace or goodness of God ever touching their life, and you don't even bother praying for them or sharing your faith with them or doing anything godly towards them, That's wrong thinking. Because sometimes people are hurt by people so much, they almost think that they deserve to go to hell. They deserve to be punished. That's the wrong way to think. Are you listening to me? All right, let's keep going. All right, so a stronghold is a fortress of wrongful thoughts that are formed in the mind and affect your life. It is a pattern of negative and stinking thinking that has imprisoned our mind that gives the enemy a protected place of influence. So every time the devil pushes that button, he's got control of you. Strongholds are not in heaven. They are in your mind, and they must be what? Pulled down. So that would be a good area to start practicing with. What areas have become strongholds? You have a negative thought that is contradictory to the word of God. And you have to pull that stuff down. Now, the Holy Spirit is your coach, your life coach. He'll tell you how and what to do about it. Everybody good? What time is it? Okay, so two more. We'll get to seven. All right. Key six. Renewing the mind involves taking off the old carnal thoughts of the flesh and putting on the new spiritual thoughts of God. Proverbs 6:23 says, reproof of instructions are the way of life. Reproofs and instruction, confrontation, and correction from the word of God are designed to bring change in our lives. Everybody say correction is good. Say it again. Correction is good. Because correction yields protection, perfection, and I was thinking about one more thing that correction yields. Direction. Yeah, direction. Yeah, there it is. So direction, protection, and perfection, maturity. Change is a way of life. So God uses the principle of taking the old things off, putting on the new man. That's what he says in Ephesians 4:22-24. Take off the old man in the way he used to live and put on the new man. Why did he tell us to do that? I thought we were born again and brand new. No, your spirit changed, but your mind, your will, emotions have not. And so you have to get in the process and the habit and be faithful in changing the way you think, renewing your mind. Is this good? God uses the principle of taking something off before you can put something on through the New Testament. Jesus began this concept by talking about wineskins. He said, you can't put old wine into what? New wineskins, because it's going to burst them. So old wineskins are hardened and stiff and not pliable for when that new wine gets put in it and it ferments and expands and what. So you can't expand if you got old wineskin. So if you got old stinking thinking, you can't grip what God is saying, because you don't want to change to his way of thinking because you've gripped onto your way of thinking. Okay? All right, key seven, taking off the old man is as important as putting on the new. So we have babies. There's some babies in the back. They both still have diapers on. Rodney can attest to that. We can attest to that. His mom's back there. Just like a baby who requires a diaper change. When you try to put new thoughts in an old stinky mindset or in rotten attitudes, it won't be long before the old thoughts start stinking up the new. So what happens if you take the poopy diaper off, but you don't clean their bottom? That new diaper is going to what? Start getting stinky. Isn't that right? So that's the visual I want to give you for that. We've all changed diapers, I think, in this room to a degree. All right? So it won't be long before you get and soon your life will be back to the same old problems. And you say, well, I thought God loves me. I thought they loved me. I thought this is hard. Well, because you think it's hard. You've got to change. Is this good? All right, let's stand. Would you stand with me, please? Father, we thank you.